Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't done this one live in a while, but welcome back to the Bizarre Junkies Reaction Show. I am your host, Austin Alvarez. We've got your boy George in the building. George, how you doing? George.
I'm doing amazing, man. Thanks for asking.
And he thinks he's getting away. Joey, we got you as well. Joey, say hi to the people.
What's good, man?
Yeah. No, you think you're getting out of it today. Jory did the same thing. He was like, I don't want to talk. I'm like, that's too damn bad, because when you're on Bizarre Junkies, you're on, okay? But our guest for today has a podcast that actually I've been on, so you should go check out that episode. But she is a fitness model, I don't even know. Like, every time I look at her, I'm like, God damn, I need to go to the gym. But we have Miss Christina Lauren in the building.
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
You, right before, you think I'm not going to call you out. Right before this, you were like, I got butterflies in my stomach.
I was just about to admit that live on camera.
I'm outing you.
I don't really know what to expect, and I'm a little bit of a scaredy cat, but, you know, the homie asked me to come on a podcast, so here I am.
Here we are. So, if you are brand new to this show, let's go ahead, George, and let's go ahead and show everybody what this show is about. So, what we're going to do is we're going to watch scary videos. We may shit ourselves.
Oh, my God.
Okay, nobody has actually shit themselves yet on the show. I know George has gotten close a couple of times. We're also going to summon the vibes. Now, actually, that's misspelled, but we're going to summon the vibes.
Yeah.
Summon them.
So, we are going to bring the vibes tonight. So, what we do here is our lovely producer, Francisco, who you guys should know as Mr. Franny, culminates a bunch of videos for us every week, and we have a special guest on the show, and we watch these crazy creepy videos and we just react to them live. That's the whole thing. So it's an easy show.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, you might get scared, so I cannot
embarrass myself.
Franny's in the chat with devil horns already, so he's ready.
To out myself as a scaredy cat.
That's okay.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
I know you're going to get a kick out of this. George, you know who gets the most scared on this show, and they've been on a few times?
Who?
John.
Michael Sertain.
Yeah, he does.
He was like, whoa, man, what was that? So, but yeah, so we're going to go ahead and start with our first video. So, according to our notes here, this one I know we've seen before, but it's always a goodie. This one says a UAP, an unidentified aerial phenomena does a flyby maneuver next to a single engine airplane. So, okay. This is a pretty good evidence of a UFO, okay? So, pilot in Colombia captures what some are describing as the best UFO footage ever. And George, you can pull this up. So we have this here. Now we have a video. Let me go ahead and full screen this. If it'll let me. Geez, it won't even let me. There we go.
I was like, listen, I'm kind of blind. Let's
look at that.
Alien.
Oh, what the fuck?
Confirmed. Ladies and gentlemen, we have it confirmed. Look at that. Look at that flyby.
Okay. So
I think there's a still. Here's the still image of it.
How does one prove that these videos are not fake?
I'm skeptical. You want to know the fun part? You don't. You kind of. There is some things like, I've seen this one before and nothing strikes me as it being fake.
Right.
Now, are you...
There's just so much like AI and shit you can do nowadays that it just makes you question things.
This video is old enough that I know it wasn't an AI, because AI video just recently got good.
When was this? Like, when was this?
We were talking about this last year.
Okay.
This one came out last. George, I don't know if you remember seeing this one.
I mean, that was pretty sketchy. Yeah,
I took the video.
Yeah. You took the video? That's you?
No, I took the video. Like, I ripped it. It's on
my phone.
That was
him flying the plane, actually.
Yeah. I thought I was like, damn, George, you're a pilot now? Like, when? But yeah, so do you believe in aliens? You think that we actually have been visited by extraterrestrial life?
I definitely think that there is life outside of what we are living in right now. Yeah.
Now, do you think they've been here?
I think so. I think there's a lot of things that we don't know. And not that we don't know, but that aren't told to us. And I think that if you truly believe that the government tells you everything, then you're living under a rock.
George,
this episode is starting off hot.
I don't know, I just think you're probably really sheltered if you like really think, if you haven't stopped to think like what is there outside of our world here.
So now, did you watch the UAP hearing that happened last year on Congress?
No, but I saw clips of it actually recently online. Like, I didn't know much
from us too.
Yeah, I probably I actually didn't know much. I didn't know much about that.
We live streamed it when it was happening. George, John, and I were here at 7 a.m.
Yeah,
and we live streamed it while it was happening.
So to clarify for people who are listening that didn't, and correct me if I'm wrong, they pretty much confirmed that they have proof.
Yes.
Of UFOs, essentially.
Yes.
And they're not calling them UFOs. They're calling them UAPs. UAPs.
Yeah. UAVs? Tactical Nuke Inbound, George?
It's so stupid they changed the name.
Why isn't it just
so
not
because,
UFO?
Because you, because they're not, some of these weren't necessarily flying. They were hovering.
Ah, gotcha.
So unknown aerial phenomena.
Got to be more specific.
Yeah. I think it's just to give it more credit. It's like, that's
got
why
it.
We don't
yeah,
call
that
it,
makes sense,
we don't call it global warming anymore. We call it climate change.
Mm. But they did confirm.
Yeah. I mean, George, we got pretty good confirmation on that one that.
Yes.
That people were. I mean, yeah. So they no, said that they had like biologics at these sites.
Okay.
That's pretty. They said non-human biologics.
I mean, what else would that be then?
Granted, now it could be like an animal or something like that, but yeah. So.
But they're saying like it's undescribable. Like it's not like it's a horse. It's not like it's something.
Yeah,
that
and
they
also,
could pick.
So a lot of the things they were talking about, they also had like NDAs and stuff mm-hmm. that like they couldn't publicly say, but they could go and do a thing called a skiff, which is just a shipping container with soundproof, and they can go and talk to Congress in there.
Interesting.
And it's soundproof from people hearing them. Now, for any saying there's USOs as well. Hey, let's chill out on the names, okay? All right, let's relax on USOs, UAPs, UFOs.
It's a yeah. lot.
What they're doing right now is a textbook softening of the blow. Because
softening of the blow, yeah.
It's like a couple when you know they're going to break up for like years, and it just happens, and it's not a big deal. Same thing for
UAPs. So it's not such a shock.
Yeah it's like, just like, yeah, oh.
You're like, oh, finally. Oh,
it's,
okay.
It's about time you guys came
yeah,
out.
Yeah, we already,
this.
We've been.
Well, like, remember like when he literally said it, that he was going to break up with you? It's literally it.
Oh, God. All right, so. This next video, to preface, my producer's asking, is this possibly AI? Recent advances in AI technology have changed the game once again and is going to become harder to distinguish AI-generated videos from actual content. Now, that is extremely true because there was a video of Will Smith eating spaghetti from AI last year, and it was like you knew it was AI. But now there's one of him like doing it again, and you're like, Will Smith actually recorded that.
And it's just going to keep continuing to get more advanced and more advanced. So it will be continuously harder to distinguish videos being real from not real in the future is what you're saying.
Correct. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, like it just makes it so much more dodgy.
Yeah.
Looking at video. Like with that last video, it's like, okay, we saw it last year.
Right.
It did the rounds already before AI started really picking up in terms of video quality.
Yeah.
But now going forward, it's got to be like, maybe, George, maybe we have to have like people like send in their videos with like holding a spoon.
Yeah.
Like, or something.
Well, I mean, if you even go back like 10, 20 years from now, there are still tapes that have really questionable things on them when it comes to
there
UFOs.
Are, yes, absolutely. Yes,
and that was
are.
Before AI was even a thing with, you know, this kind of footage.
That is true. That is very true.
So, I mean...
No, well, it's kind of crazy for you to say that it was before AI was a thing, because for there to even be aliens proves that there's already AI.
True.
Before we had access
AI. Had access to utilizing AI as much as we do
back
now.
Back in my day, George, we didn't have ChatGPT to write our essays.
But think about that. If the aliens were there, then technically they did have AI.
Oh.
Never made it as a wise one.
All right. So this next one says the night shift is terrifying. And here's a compilation of some nocturnal activities. Now, anytime somebody's a security guard working late at night, it is always terrifying. So let's take a look at this one. So it says POV, you are never picking up the night shift again.
Okay, you can do this. Just ignore the statues. They're not demons. It's fine.
I've seen this one. Yeah.
You got this. You got this. Oh, God. Oh, God. You're not going to come alive, right? Right, you're all just standing and chilling, right? It's fine. This is fine. Just a few demons, it's fine. Oh, cool, they reflect in that. That's cool. This is fine. I'm fine. It's fine.
Dude, I hate working night shift. They got me cleaning up all this broken glass.
Oh, shit.
I'm out.
Oh no! Oh my God! He got dragged. Oh, there's somebody laughing in the distance, like a mall.
Nope.
Am I blind?
Mm-mm.
Boss!
What did he see?
So it was somebody laughing. You just hear like an echo.
Oh, no.
Oh, the panels are moving? Wow.
Yeah, see, paranormal stuff freaks me out the most, I think. Yeah. I mean, I might laugh and like, you know, at some of these videos because it's not like, realistic.
It's not real. It's not real. It's not real.
I don't know. When I grew up, I don't really remember it. My mom told me stories about our house having poltergeists in it. And
damn.
Yeah, it was just some freaky shit.
Damn.
Like, we had somebody come to bless the house and they didn't want to come inside kind of thing.
You know what? I know Noah is in the chat. Black Cauldron. I know you're in the chat. What do we do in this situation? They don't want to step inside the house to cleanse it.
Yeah.
What did you do? Did you just move?
No, we stayed there. It was actually here in Las Vegas when I was a kid. We wound up finding out that the area was on like Indian burial grounds, or at least that's what I remember being told.
Yep.
But my mom was told to, the next time she experienced anything like that, to, you know, wish it to go away. Say, like, at the time we were Catholic. So, mm-hmm. you know, hang up a cross. It's so hard because I was not there to experience this. My mom would tell me, she would sit down and the music boxes would start when she was like rocking my sister to sleep. You know, things would fall off the walls. You know, she'd hear big crashes in the house upstairs when no one was home kind of thing. And I mean, my mom's a very sane woman, so has no reason to make this shit up. I was 3-4 years old at the time, so I don't really have firsthand experience with this. Yeah. But I always wondered, you know, what do you do when you have firsthand encounters with something like this?
Black Cauldron, who is our co-host of our live call-in show, Calls from Beyond, who is a spiritualist and is very well in tune with all that, said, cleanse it yourself.
Cleanse it yourself.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. there, I mean, you can, I mean, like, for some people, you can do sage. I know she uses, I'm not gonna put words in my mouth because she can say it better than me, but there's certain things you can use to cleanse your house.
Yeah. I have cleansed my own house before.
Oh, okay.
Because when I did move into my own apartment a couple years ago, I was experiencing some really terrible night terrors, and I'd wake up feeling like somebody was in my home at the foot of my bed. I would have that like sleep paralysis kind of thing happen.
No.
And I wound up working with an energy worker myself to figure out what was going on, if I had like some cords to be cut or if I had some kind of entity kind of, you know, latching on to me. I didn't know what to think because it was so heavy for me that I was experiencing some like uncomfortability in my own home. And she said the same thing, to like cleanse and do mm-hmm. all of those things. And when she also did a cleansing for me over the phone, and I would wake up from these nightmares that I was getting, what's the word? Like when a spirit like goes into you and like takes over kind of thing.
Possessed?
I was possessed. I had dreams about possession.
Why have you never told me this?
I don't know. I had dreams about possession and it was freaking me out. And so she would tell me to go outside and do some grounding and then sage my home. And I had all these things that I did and it eventually went away. But she told me you have to tell it to leave. So
Kristen, I do understand. Help you.
This is long gone now, but it was freaky.
Damn. So she's saying cedar sage, mugwort, pray Psalm 91.
Okay.
Okay, Psalms 91. Okay.
Gotcha.
All right, write that down. We're going to have to get that written down. Yeah, George is stepping out of the building, but he is holding up a cross, and he's walking out backwards, which is what we've been taught to do.
I hope you burn some sage when you get home.
All right, George, we love you. We'll see you on tomorrow's live stream. Okay. All right, then. All right, so we're going to go ahead and take a look at this next video, which says, give me one second here. It says, New Orleans is otherworldly, which I have heard that it is very spiritually active.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff going on there. So we'll go ahead and roll with this next video.
Let me give y'all the warning before you come to the city of New Orleans for Mardi Gras. You hear me? Everything is sectioned off. Don't be all back there in Bourbon, French Quarters, looking for something, and then you run into something else, you hear me? Because that's how it is in the city. You got witches over here. We got your vampires over there. We got your werewolves over there. Rainbows over there. This over here, you hear me? Like, everything is sectioned off, so it's a place of culture, baby. Don't come over there and you thinking you just about to be dancing, you hear me, drinking your little drink, you hear me, and then next thing you know, you run into something crazy. You better be aware, baby. It's like vortexes down there. Quantum physics is happening down there. Go in one spot and you wound up in the other, you hear me? Mirror dimensions is happening down there. Be careful, bro. Stop thinking everything is cute and You feel me?
Got that?
Don't come out down here with all that. I promise you, it's going to be some problems.
So what he's saying is basically, if you're going to fuck around and find out, you're going to find out.
Yeah.
Okay?
Exactly. That's what I picked up.
And the wise words of Black Cauldron, fuck around and find out. Like, it is a thing.
And, like, don't wind up in a bad neighborhood.
Correct.
Implying that there are also a lot of witches and black magic type things in New Orleans, which I have also heard.
I've heard that as well. We've had some callers from New Orleans, and they've told us that.
That's interesting, because you're right. I mean, all you'd really do here is about, like, Mardi Gras and, you know, the big party that that area is. But when you do have cities that have that much history, it does run deep. So, I mean, I don't know too much history about that place, but I'd believe him.
Yes. Shalina is saying you can feel the energy in Louisiana for real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've even walked into buildings that, you know, have some kind of, like, if you walk, I walked into, like, Alcatraz when I was visiting San Francisco, which is a prison with a lot of history.
I did feel like an energy there, but I was like 14 at the time. I wasn't in tuned.
Yeah.
And I'm only recently in tuned as of, like, October when I did my first paranormal investigation. Yeah. And I understood what energy actually felt like.
Right. Well, I can only imagine because I mean, Alcatraz was just a prison. I mean, obviously there's deaths and murders and, like,
but there's
bad
a lot
people
of negative
there.
Energy.
Negative energy. Yeah. Right. So now couple that with somewhere that has an even larger,
like, plantations where there was a lot of dark energy, a lot of murders and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Joey, you ever you ever been to Louisiana? Joey?
Never been to Louisiana.
No. Mm-mm. You ever have a paranormal experience?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. Maybe, like, more so spiritual, but, like, paranormal, nah.
Well, I mean, that technically, like, paranormal just means not normal.
Yeah, not normal, like, positive, like, maybe, like, signs. Like
signs,
like maybe, like, let's say this is an example, but if I was going through a problem in my life or something, and let's say I come home one day and then right when I walk in my room, a certain book falls off the bookshelf that, like, has the answers to that problem. That's happened to me before.
So, like, you're, like, looking, like, you're, like, having car problems, like, and then, like, your manual falls down, you're like, oh, yeah.
Like, or it'll just show up, like, literally. I'm not even saying I'll watch it fall off, but, like, I walk
it'll
in
be
my
brought
room.
To your awareness.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's when you really know you're in tune as well, because I feel like a lot of that kind of stuff happens to me. And when I've kind of fallen out of being more self-aware, I stop noticing the signs that the universe is sending me, or God sending me, whatever. Right. I don't want to, like, totally make that super spiritual or super religious, but whatever you believe in, that higher source granting you access to, you know, your next step kind of thing.
Yep.
I mean, that's energy as well. Everything is energy.
Yeah. And I'm getting dragged right now because I had a minister on the show yesterday and I straight up said, like, I don't believe in God, but I do believe in, like, energy.
Right.
And that, like, low vibrational beings are a thing.
Do you believe in a higher power?
I don't know. I would say I'm more agnostic. I
was
going to
say,
atheist.
Is that, yeah.
Yeah. I would say, like, there, like, I don't know. Cause, like, my personal opinion is, like, when you die, it's like when you go to sleep, it's just done.
Like, and there's nothing afterwards.
No, there's nothing afterwards. It's just like when, like, before you were born. You're only aware of your consciousness now. Granted, I'm being proven wrong, or at least being brought forth to other,
like,
very
ideologies.
Realistic potentials. Yeah. Yeah, very much so.
I think
so.
It's important to keep open-minded.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's where I'm at with this show is, until you can prove me either correct or incorrect, I am in the middle.
Right.
But I want to hear everybody out, though.
Right. I think that's a good place to be, because you're not, you know, egotistically at a point where you're like, nope, this is what it is, and that's it. You're like, well, show me something else, and I could be interested.
I think it's a maturity thing too, because, like, when I had her on yesterday, she brought notes, and, like, kudos to her, she brought notes and came prepared. She brought a study Bible and everything, and she was like, she's like, do you believe in evolution? And I was like, yes. And she's like, here is why I don't think that is what happened. And she came with evidence, and you know, and being at my age now, I feel like my brain is fully developed, but 6-7 years ago, I would have been like, no, you're wrong.
Yeah.
No. And just been so
just that
ignorant
stubborn
about it.
Youth.
Yeah. But now I'm like, okay, I mean,
like,
sure.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Potentially. I mean, we don't. Yeah. Black Cauldron says my ancestors are going to meet me at the gate and slap me upside the head. Apparently, I guess so. Hey, here's the thing. I'll save it for tomorrow. Okay. Something happened Friday night and she called it. Spiritually, something happened to me. And she called it Friday night, and I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay.
The people on the live stream tomorrow night are going to drag me, and they're going to be like, we told you. We done told you so. So, all right, let's move on to this next one, which says how prayer helps with D words. So you don't want to say the full word, because it's like inviting them in.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So I have learned. I'm trying to pick up the
D word.
D-E-M-O-N.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I figured, but I didn't know you're not supposed to say it.
I'm learning from my new friends, from good friend of mine, Black Cauldron, and for people who have a and we're turning into the Fearless as Fuck podcast right now, but like a parasocial relationship.
Uh huh.
I'm starting to get that now.
Interesting.
Where people like think that they understand the dynamic that Noah and I have.
Uh huh.
But it's not it at all.
Interesting.
And but it's because of like the parasocial relationship where they have a relationship with us. They know everything about us, but we know nothing about them kind of thing.
Right,
but
right.
They actually really don't know everything. But so I totally got off track, but
the D word.
Yeah, so I'm learning etiquette from my friends and new following and fans and just friends on how to carry myself spiritually.
Right, and not invite that low vibrational
Correct.
Energy into your life.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Correct. So we're going to go ahead and roll this one. So this is ex-Satanist reveals how prayer protects us from spiritual / D-word attacks. Let's go ahead and give this a listen.
Because you were actually involved in this cult in attacking Christians, weren't you?
Yes. So I was a channeler. I talked to the demons and they relayed messages to the rest of the cult through me. And their goal was really just to cause chaos.
Interesting.
But later on, I was 16 when, I'm just going to say it, I met Satan himself.
Word?
Which really obviously is shocking. and his priority for us, it changed the trajectory of the cult. And we started attacking just Christians, going after clergy specifically. We had names, addresses, workplaces, and that's what we did. We just harassed Christians.
Mm.
So
that's going on now, isn't it? I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There are assignments on people who are actively engaged in worshiping and ministering. Including now yourself. So we pray, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over you.
Thank you.
that the Lord has victory, because you realized as this was going on that there were certain Christians or certain people that would not be at the effect of these prayer or these chants or these these practices.
Yep. So I would actually travel in the spirit, astral projection, to influence, I don't know, lust or something on a Christian. And in the spirit, I would see like a dome, like a blue dome over groups of Christians that were praying or... Just through all those experiences, I connected that we could not attack Christians as they were actively praying protection from God. Like, there was a no-go zone. Just absolutely no power.
So do you have to constantly be praying to be protected?
I love it now. Like yes! Thank you, God. But back then, it made me very angry. It made the demons very angry. And so at that point, that made me curious, how is this possible? How can Christians have this power to just nullify the demonics completely? So,
it's the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? That will be done. And lead me not unto temptation, but deliver me from evil. I mean, that Jesus gave that prayer. And you're testifying that in fact, when we do that, pray the enemy, God's enemy, the minions of demons and what have you, cannot affect us.
Yeah, yeah, it's perfect protection. Nothing can get through. So I take very great comfort in that now. And
yes,
Satan is defeated.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any power. It's all an illusion. And I wish more people grasped that.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I'm curious to know, like, do you have to constantly be praying then to, like, not be afflicted? Or to not be...
Well, that was my... I am so confused because I have also been in a position where I turned and leaned more towards my faith and how I grew up as a Christian, or, you know, got into Christianity and prayed a lot when I needed the most help. And I had some really spiritual experiences with that during that time. And I had never fallen to my knees to pray and just ask for guidance before in my life. I was that low. And that was right before a time in my life where I did feel the most protected. And after that scenario happened in my life, I actually really did feel protected and light and love and guided. And I felt like I was safe.
Right.
But I just truly don't believe that if you're not praying that you can't be protected. You know what I mean? Like the way it's said is kind of like, so I need to be praying 24/7 in order to be protected.
Right.
And not to like talk down on anybody who believes that by any means.
Right. Maybe
but
we see clarification.
Yeah. Just a little confused.
Yeah. All right then.
You know?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But that's also kind of like, I have heard about a lot about, you know, spiritual warfare, and I forget the other term she used for like spiritual attacks. Yeah. And I truly do believe that, you know, we are in a world that is like good versus evil right now. And there's something like way bigger than what we believe to
be
going on
me,
at hand.
The evil is people who put pineapple on pizza currently.
I fucking love pineapple on pizza. Don't right. come
well,
for me.
The line has been drawn right here on the table, ladies and gentlemen. Right here is the line.
Good versus evil.
Good versus evil. No, actually, yeah, good versus evil. All right. This next one says they fucked around and found out. So we're about to see somebody. So this is POV. You decided to play the Ouija board game and you get exactly what you're looking for. Granted, I have a Ouija board behind me, but I will never use it.
I won't fuck with that
because
either.
Although I don't believe in God or angels and D words, I do feel that you can invite negative energy by your intentions, because that is from Amazon. How haunted could it really be? Now, if you go in with
the intention of utilizing something for
correct,
because
you could just
evil.
Do it with letters on a
well,
on a table.
Well, think about people who are into like witchcraft and things. They use things like candles and things that you can buy at the store to do their practices. So it's not so much about the actual like piece of, you know, whatever it is, it's the intention and the energy.
Yeah, I feel like I
it.
Could do it with this can of ape water and just be malicious in my intent to do something with it, as opposed to just drink it.
I'm going to send all my good healing energy this direction.
Why? I got plenty of it yesterday.
I'm just kidding.
I don't know if I'm protected, but I am consciously aware and I got hitters. Noah is a hitter for me, okay? I know she out here hitting for me. Here's the thing. She did one tarot reading for me, and I was like, oh.
How weird was it?
Well, I mean, it's on YouTube. You can see it. But it was, so she made my producer cry.
Wow.
And then with me, she goes, do you have something that belongs to somebody who passed away? And I go, I have my friend's literal ashes. She goes, yeah, I think he's here, and he's messing with the cameras and knowing him.
That's trippy. Yeah, I've had some interesting tarot readings as well.
But the creepier part. It's like, I had a rough day here at the studio. Didn't tell her. Like, I didn't tell anybody, really. I mean, everybody here knew it. And she texted me and she goes, what happened today? And I was like, fuck you mean what happened today? What do you mean? And she was like, I got this card about you right now. And I was like, okay.
Like, what is happening?
Okay. All right, then. But I got hit her. So let's see what they fucked around and found out about. See, that's not a legit Ouija board. That's just numbers on a...
All right, we ain't doing none of the TV shit. I think all that shit is fake. We just gonna ask simple ass questions. We ain't hold no fucking hands. We just gonna see what the fuck happened. We made our own fucking music.
Hello?
No, ain't nobody touching me. That's phone. If there's a ghost in here, he gonna move that motherfucker by his damn self.
I know you think it's holding
you. Don't try to scare you with the TV.
You know
shit.
He
nobody's
invited all those girls over and was like, yo, y'all wanna be on like Paranormal Activity? Try.
Right. Is there anyone else in here besides us? Can you hear me?
Hold on, give it a minute.
How long we gotta fucking wait?
Whoa! Oh, so it's multiple people.
Are you okay? Oh my god!
Oh, fuck damn. That.
R. Oh, yeah. Here?
E.
Here. Oh, my God. Goodbye. Oh, my God. I don't
I'm freaked out now. I don't know.
You have to throw the whole house away.
Yep.
Was that upstairs?
The good old upstairs trick.
Oh my god.
Oh my god! Yep, running towards him.
What?
Is there anyone?
Hey, that's the same one I have.
Besides us,
come on.
Let's switch spaces. You write down.
All right.
You record. Monica, you got this, girl.
You got this, girl.
All right. Watch out, Ouija board. We're coming for you. Okay.
I'm noticing a trend here of the type of people that do this.
Yeah, they're
white.
Dumb as fuck.
Are you?
No.
Are you touching?
Are you?
No.
That's crazy. I barely
have my hands on here at all. What?
Wow.
That is really moving now.
yes!
okay. What,
it's not
what
mimosas.
Is your name?
Ooh.
It's a girl, so I'm dumb as fuck.
Wow.
Sorry.
What is the deal with these?
Are they going to go on a special show here on Thursday nights?
Oh my, yes.
Z?
Oh my god.
Is your name Zo?
Oh, it's so freaky. Oh my gosh.
What? No. Okay.
Isn't there
is
a D word name?
Zozo.
I forgot. I did it in a video about exorcisms.
Zozo. Zozo the clown.
I would say that.
What the? Monica, what are you doing? Hey!
Monica! What are you doing? Oh my god, Monica!
That one feels a little scripted to me, but.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
Like, there's just some things you just don't do.
Yeah, that's one of them. People call me out. They go, "Why the fuck do you have that?" I go, "Because it's called entertainment, dog.
Yeah,
it's called having a set, but I'm never going
to
use it."
I mean, some people do say like it isn't like. I mean, I have heard it's not good to like possess things like that and like own them and have them around and anything that can like welcome negative energy. But then again, you have household items that can hold negative energy and things can, you know, come into your space. But I just wouldn't fuck with that if I were you. That's all.
Yeah, I would
don't invite that shit in. That's just like, I don't know.
yeah, that's
it's not for me. I'm mean, it's a no
thing.
For me, dog.
Here's the thing. We are doing and we've talked about it if you watched the episode yesterday, and we kind of talked about it on the live stream last week, but next weekend we're doing the investigation here.
Why at this building?
Yes. So, there have been a lot of okay, it all started last year. January, we had a show in here, which helped me go viral. It was a man named Matt Montague. He was in possession of these dolls that were owned by a serial killer.
Oh, fuck that.
He brought them in the studio.
Are you kidding? I don't like dolls.
He brought
anyway.
Them in the studio, and I straight up told George, I was like, I'm not touching those. I will touch that all day because I know where it came from, and I know the energy because I'm the only one who really touches it. I know the energy, kind of.
Okay.
Those fucking things I was not touching. When we brought them in, shit started getting deleted off the rig just randomly. Problems started occurring. Everybody was way more tense and the energy was so negative. He then took him away like a month later. He ended up moving to a different studio. went away.
Mm, energy was gone.
That's the precursor. I guess I'm at fault for everything else. But month or two ago, George had a thing happen to him where he, during the football season, he comes in and he records shows Sunday nights during the football season. Just him and his fiance Cameron. They're in Studio A. You can, and we've shown the video, and we're going to use this in the episode. He goes to clap, and right before he claps, you hear something fall, like outside of the studio. He told me he went out there and nothing, and they're the only people there, and nothing was on the floor, nothing had fallen or anything. Another show, Marcus Deegan show. George was also there for that. Maybe it's George, because he did touch those things. Maybe it is George. We got to cleanse George. They were setting up the set, and it was set up like this, stuff on the shelves. And he said that it had been sitting there for a couple of minutes, the props. All of a sudden, the prop flies off. Both Marcus and George told me this. And George, I know when he's... I've known him forever. I know when he's faking it, and I know when he's legit. And he looked pale.
Like genuinely scared. Yeah, like genuinely concerned.
Like, not to freak you out right now. Two nights ago, or yesterday. Yesterday, actually. Yesterday. I come in and the alarm is not set, which is common. It happens. Travis goes, he comes in a few minutes later. He goes, Austin, you may have noticed that the alarm wasn't set. I go, yeah. And we already knew we were going to do this investigation at this point. He goes, yeah, it kept saying it detected a person and it kept going off, but nobody was here.
Interesting.
And the alarm kept going off.
Okay, now I'm actually really curious about this whole investigation that
yes.
is going to happen.
So now people on our live stream on Fridays have said that they literally see entities here.
Shut the fuck
up. I'm not even kidding you. Black Cauldron even says, like, Austin, when are we going to cleanse this place? Like, she's like, the energy here is off.
Is it this room or is it Studio A2?
No, it's the whole studio. It's a whole building.
Interesting.
Then what I found out from Adam Lieberman is that this building, before we got it, was a boxing gym. A lot of pent-up energy, a lot of aggression. Energy can be coded in the room. But mirrors are very bad. They can be portals. This whole wall, before we built like this wall and the other wall, was a mirror.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm curious.
Yeah.
I'm invested now.
So, next Saturday, and this isn't going to be live. We're gonna film this how we did the last one. We're coming in. We're going to do an investigation, see what we observe, and then we're going to cleanse it with both Brian Hopkins and the Black Cauldron.
Why Brian Hopkins?
Well, he's paranormally sensitive.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, if you watch Bizarre Junk, wow.
I know. I'm a
terrible... His sister's a medium.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. She came on the show. She sat right where you sat and gave Lana, who used to work here, a reading on the spot. And was like, I see a little boy with you. And I saw her from sitting here. One arm would get goosebumps. And she goes, somebody's trying to talk with me right now.
What?
Here's why I don't think she's full of shit whatsoever. She doesn't do it for money. She actually really doesn't even advertise it. She does it. And every time she's told me about it, I was at a golf. You may have seen the golf clips come out of Brian Hopkins and George. When we were waiting for that event to start, we were in the clubhouse. And she is talking to me if she was there. And she closed her eyes. She goes, hold on. Somebody's trying to come through right now. I need to like wave them off. And I was like, okay. So I know now Black Cauldron in the chat saying, oh my God, awesome. What if your ethically sourced Ouija board is making the studio haunted? We're going to cleanse it. I think we should cleanse it when we do the cleanse. We should specifically cleanse it.
Yeah. No, there are some people who I believe because they are, not, I believe they're not full of shit for those reasons too. Like I know somebody who does readings for me and she is the same way, does not advertise it. I just know that she does it. And, you know, she's told me a lot about her history and, her gifts that she's been given, and she's been this way since she was a kid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's wild.
Yeah.
And after the conversations I've had with her, I mean, there's this things that she's told me that there's no way anybody would have ever known in a million years. And I was a really skeptical person before that. And then after that, I was like, there's people out there with a next level of sensitivity, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So Brian, and I think the reason why we didn't, so when we did the Pioneer Saloon, when we were done, we went in there and I explicitly went in there and I said, like, I spoke to the room and I said, I just want to observe you. I'm not here to disrupt you. I'm not here to anger you. I'm not here to mess with you. I just want to observe. I want to be respectful of you. And that was it. And then when we left, we thanked them.
Mm-hmm.
We said, thank you for allowing us to experience that. Thank you. And then we saged ourselves.
Yeah.
Two nights later, a news crew went out there for the same reason. Got them all worked up. Didn't do any of that. Steven, the owner, went home. Now he has stuff going on at his house.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Or at least he did. I think he cleansed
it.
That's so
interesting.
So we're going to do that here. But let's get on to the next video here. So this one says, how long could you survive being in a fridge? Okay. Any guesses? Joey, you got a guess? How long do you think you'd survive in a fridge?
Not longer than a day.
Not longer than a day. Christina?
Maybe like, I don't know. That's confusing. Like,
I'm going to say like 8 hours.
I was in a, really? Even less? I'm going to say 30 hours.
30? Okay. Well, yeah. let's hear how long it takes for you to refrigerate to death.
Have you ever looked at your fridge and thought, if someone shoved me in there, how long would I survive and how painful would my death be? Yeah, me either. But in case you're asking for a friend, I'm going to tell you. Which do you think would be worse, dying in a fridge or a freezer? Well, in the fridge, you're the prize in a death race match between three different causes: hypothermia, positional asphyxiation, or just plain suffocation. A typical refrigerator is between 35 and 40 degrees, which rules out frostbite, but unfortunately, pain will be brought on by other factors. Even with the shelf removed, it's going to be a compressing squeeze. You'll have to be curled up tight with your head lowered, unable to move for hours. This in itself would make for a suitable torture method. You're extending numerous sensitive muscles, increasing the weight on your cervical spine, possibly compressing nerves and putting pressure on your diaphragm and lungs. Sure, you have just enough space to sneak baby breaths, but your chest is still restricted. It won't take long until you're consumed with the need for a real deep, clarifying breath. Speaking of air, you are on reserve. There's a limited amount inside of this frigid hell box. It's airtight, so what you have is all that you get. I would estimate it to be no more than 7 hours worth, but only...
I don't know why I thought 30 would be even close.
That could be taken as good or bad news, depending on perspective, because you'll be slowly, agonizingly freezing to death. Okay, that's a touch dramatic, because it's technically above freezing, but it's still lowering your core temperature and bringing in ever so slowly crescendoing hypothermia. At least in a freezer, you'd be frozen toast in no more than an hour. Even without frostbite, you'll still feel the ironic burn. Your body will constrict blood flow to your limbs, fingers, and toes to divert it to your struggling organs. Your heart rate and respirations will initially speed up, only to slow way down. Your bladder will also begin to pulsate like it might explode everywhere because you're producing more urine. Death can take anywhere from 3 to the full 7 hours to arrive.
I was closest.
I think my initial thought was just like thinking, okay, it's not that cold. But I didn't really. It's not that cold. But I also am not thinking about all of the asphyxiation and suffocation to go with that. Awesome. Good to know. Great torture method.
Yay! Now I know what to do. I mean, for research. No, I'm never going to do anything like that.
Shove someone in a fridge.
All right. This next video says the most haunted place in Texas? Question mark. So I guess we don't know if this is the most haunted place in Texas.
This is the most haunted place in Texas. And who knows? It might be the most haunted place in the U.S. Watch.
John Giggy takes us to the haunted Hill House in Mineral Wells, where he had an encounter of his own.
If you're driving through Mineral Wells near the Baker Hotel, you'd be wise to follow the signs to stop and do not enter the haunted Hill House. Experts have called it the most haunted house in the paranormal world.
I won't sleep in this house. I have before in the past, and that's when I was attacked.
Attacked by what?
They're not spirits, they're entities. They're bad things.
Owners Catherine and Eddie Estes aren't the only ones who've been attacked.
A lot of people have been injured physically in this room right here.
Visitors can rent the house and do their own paranormal research, but most people who stay here don't make it through the night.
Something crazy happened and they're like, we need to go ahead and go.
We've had scratches, bite marks, burn marks.
And a lot of it comes from an entity they call Toby.
We can go into Toby's room real quick.
One of the women staying here took this picture. You can clearly see a face they believe is Toby.
And it was one of the creepiest
the fuck is
things.
Toby?
Other guests say they've heard Toby's demonic voice.
It's very quick. Stuff like that.
Joey,
but
don't laugh.
What happened downstairs will make your skin crawl.
The most, you know, horrible things have happened in this room. Now watch.
One of the women on the bed started taunting a spirit when all of a sudden something pulled her off.
Why are
the
you
bed.
Fucking taunting anything?
We're gonna rewind it again.
A year later, that same woman visited the house again. Something scratched her so badly, blood soaked through her shirt.
Damn.
At this point,
that's
I wasn't
crazy.
Sure I was believing any of this until.
What was that?
Did you hear that?
In the middle of the interview,
that happened to us too.
We heard something
when we were doing interviews.
My microphone didn't pick it up very well, but I'm being completely honest when I tell you I heard it clearly.
I just heard like scratch.
And a little later, I heard the same demonic growling many others described. I'm not convinced if it was a ghost, a spirit, or a demon, but I do know I can't explain it. And if you don't believe me, make a reservation, because I bet you won't make it through the night.
As always, share your thoughts in the comments.
No.
I think my thought is you're a fucking masochist if you want to go fucking stay somewhere like that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Okay, here's the thing, though. What if I told you, okay, hear me out. This just happened the other day. A haunted theater in Illinois reached out to us and wants us to come investigate. We're going to do it for sure. I mean,
you
we're
should.
Gonna, we're going to get it sponsored so we can... Not
you should. I don't know. I don't know if I would ever personally put myself into a position to experience that firsthand.
I did it. Did you not watch our ghost hunt video?
But no, I didn't.
Damn, I go on her show.
I know.
I help cut clips for her show.
I know, I'm terrible.
And Christina's like, appreciate you, dog.
Well,
I'm going to send it to you after this.
Okay.
It's 26 minutes. You got to
watch it.
Okay, I'll watch it. I am definitely convinced we got
I have ADHD. You tell me something, sometimes it like goes in when one ear and out the other. If you like, here, watch this link and like just get it to me at the right time, I'll watch it. Something personal,
all right,
I promise.
Well, you're going to watch it, okay? Joey watched it twice in the last day.
Yeah. But you know what's crazy? When I was a kid, I actually wanted to get into paranormal studies because I thought it was so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But now, after just knowing what I know and, like, the feelings around all this kind of, like, you know, bad... I don't want to say the D word because apparently I can't, but that kind of, you know, negative energy, I just don't want that in or around my space. I just don't think... I could put myself in it. I just wouldn't, as cool as it would be to understand and like you were saying, like, I'm here to observe. I just want to understand. I just think that I would feel so, my skin's crawling right now thinking about it.
It's fun though. It is fun. Oh, it's terrifying, but also like thrilling. You're like, especially like my favorite
thrill
thing.
Another way.
My favorite thing is the spirit box sessions.
What's that?
So Spirit Box is a device that scans very rapidly radio frequencies.
Uh-huh.
And that is said to how the paranormal are able to speak to us. Is by
right.
using the radio frequencies. Waves. So they can use phrases from radio stations to make sentences. Now, can it be bullshit? Absolutely. But that was my foot. No, that was my foot. I kicked the table by the... Like everybody, I kicked the table. I just saw you freak out and you just kicked me too.
Get me out of here.
Yeah. So the spirit
the look
box, though,
of concern.
It scans radio frequencies rapidly.
Knock it off back there. I see you laughing at me.
And so that's how they're said to speak to you. Now, they are full of shit a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Because it's just music. Hello.
Right.
What got me was the owner of the saloon is named Steven. When he came up to sit at the booth where we were doing it, you hear the thing goes, "Hi, Steven."
Uh-huh. That's fucking weird.
That's not a random radio thing. And then it called him an asshole, but he owns a company called the Asshole Association.
Mm. Interesting.
And then it said, "Fuck you." But when it did that, they had an employee who passed away like 3 months before we went there.
Uh-huh.
And that was his saying to people was, "Fuck you."
That's weird.
Yeah, so we were pretty convinced we were conversing with the deceased employee.
Huh, that's crazy.
It was crazy.
Sweat thinking about it.
Yeah, but it was crazy to think about. And we didn't realize it until after we'd wrapped up and we got it on camera. But he was like, "Yeah, hey man, I think that was Flynn."
Mm-hmm. Was
like,
weird.
Okay, but I mean, but it was so like you're sitting there and I have EMF detectors as well, which I'll show you after this, which is it detects a disturbance in the electromagnetic field. Uh-huh. That is another way for spirits to show their presence is to disrupt that and to show.
I do remember seeing that. I used to, what was that show? Like, there was a show on TV where they used to go and take people to really haunted places. Like they would take them to places like Hill House or an abandoned like psych ward kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they would use those EMF machines.
Well, I mean, you've narrowed it down to like 10 shows, but.
Okay. Well, there was a lot of shows that are like
Ghost Hunters. There's Ghost Adventures.
I think it was Ghost Hunters. I think that might be the one that I was watching, but that was the first time I had ever seen or heard of an EMF machine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of my letters today.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's, I'll show you after, but we were, what we were doing is every time we would get an answer, the EMF would spike, which is like cross-referencing your data.
Right, right, right. Interesting. So. See, I get so intrigued by that kind of stuff. It's, I just don't know if I'd be able to actually like be there in person. Like, I would be so fucking scared.
Joey, you saw it a couple of times. The beginning of the video sums it up perfectly. We were testing the cameras here. So we were lent IR cameras, which shows you black and white or shows night vision. I was actually recording a show in A, so I wasn't there to do it, but George and Travis and Chase at the time were testing them. Lights completely off. And George goes, guys, it's starting to hit me. Like, this is like, I'm starting to freak the fuck out.
I can totally see him.
Because, and we did that. We turned all the lights off and we were like, okay. And we let the room come to us.
Oh,
not here, but when we were at the investigation. Yeah. But yeah, it gets terrifying and it is scary. But then you kind of go, okay, let's do this.
Oh, I don't know, man.
Yeah. All right. This one is just called The CIA Did What? So it says 1950s, Filipino communists finding their soldiers killed and completely drained of their blood. The CIA draining bodies to convince communist fighters they're being hunted by folklore vampires. That's pretty meta.
What?
So it sounds like the CIA was puncturing holes into people's necks of like fallen soldiers to make them think that like they were fighting something supernatural. CIA does crazier stuff than that.
See, I mean, I guess like I could poke fun at myself by saying like I'm living under a rock by not knowing that kind of stuff, but that just sounds so like blasphemous to me.
Yeah. It's crazy.
What?
Yeah. So like the CIA does some crazy stuff.
Interesting.
They've proven it. Numerous people have been like, the CIA did that. And you're like, they did? And the CIA is eventually like, yeah, we did that.
That's fucked up.
Our government is crazy.
This is a simulation, all of this.
All right, this next one says the ghost of Manchester. This is assuming Manchester, England.
Fuck that.
Fuck that.
That was out.
Oh.
Out the blue. Got ya. Break them fucking blinds and you're gone tonight. Little shit. I'll ring the fucking priest. Lights on a mad one. That light's gone on. Lamp's on a mad one. TV's gone off. I'm just fucking a cap, yeah. It's all today. Fuck off.
Is that a bowl of candy?
Mad fucking enough.
Yeah.
Finally. Sorry. Put the fucking telly back on. Mad enough. Fuck off. Priest, tomorrow, Sunday.
Fuck that. Yeah. The whole apartment's got to go.
Lights just gone off. This is why I don't like coming around at night time, guys.
See, this is the kind of shit my mom said she experienced in our home here in Vegas.
Fuck off. Lights just come on.
Oh, I couldn't tell.
Whoa, guys. We don't know. What the fuck? Guys, look at that blind. What the fuck?
British people are funny when they're mad.
What's funny, because like it almost sounds like they're joking.
What the fuck, guys? I'm fucking shaking now. You're all going to say that's remote controlled.
All right, I guess that guy has a ghost in Manchester, and that's funny. Not funny that he has it, but the way he reacts.
It's I'm just so skeptical, but I mean, I don't know how you fake that.
Yeah. I don't know how you fake that either.
Mm-mm.
I really
put
don't.
A controller on the blinds.
Or like you what could. If what if there what if there's like a vent he didn't show, the air is just kind of like hitting yeah, that.
That's too abrupt of a vent movement. Mm-hmm. And they all move like that.
Yeah, I guess.
But I see what you say.
Yeah.
All right, this next one says, this man's neighbor isn't ready to move on. Was that you? Okay. Oh, my God. You got... Just,
yeah, that was me.
All right. This one says, don't watch alone. Well, thank God. We're watching it with a bunch of our friends right now.
The man in this video, whose name is Aaron, had received terrible news from the police regarding his downstairs neighbor, who had not been seen for weeks.
As it turns out, the rotting stench that Aaron had been smelling for a while and the multitude of flies surrounding his neighbor's window was all because of a body that was decomposing inside. His neighbor, according to the police, had passed away in his own apartment. Considering that Aaron lived right above him, he was deeply unsettled by this news. So much so that the thought of them dying right beneath him keeps him up at night. But on one occasion, it was more than just the thought that kept him awake. It's 3:40 in the morning when Aaron hears a creaking sound from his staircase. Watch.
Saying he feels the presence of somebody near him, and his camera started losing focus and it got very cold. Really fighting, looking around this corner. Yeah. Noise in the bathroom. The water started running. Nobody is in there. I don't want to go in there, but I have to check.
I would not. I just would not.
So the toilet cover was moved.
Ghost just had to pee real quick.
He gave him an upper decker. So now he's walking up his stairs. Oh, the lights started flickering.
Lights.
Oh, his closet's moving.
Goodbye.
You jumped.
Oh, shit.
Something is not right in his home.
No shit.
He has no idea how to fix it.
Something is not right in his home. Yeah, we see that. We very clearly see that.
I don't know. I just would not stand there long enough to like see that much. I'd be out. Yeah. Out.
Yeah.
New apartment tomorrow.
New apartment tomorrow.
You said that same thing happened to you, that you had someone pass
so,
away.
Yeah, so
you?
I was in a band. And we, at the time, practiced at our singer's house. And it was, like, the week before 4th of July. And we hear, like, a bang. And I was like, somebody's lighting off fireworks. And my bass player goes, no, that sounded like a gunshot.
Mm.
Week later, we come back to practice. And we're like, man, it fucking reeks.
Oh, God. You're fucking kidding.
No. And then we come back another week. And our singer's mom was like, guys. The neighbor shot himself, and he had melted into the carpet. It was in the summer in Vegas. Yeah. So I know what that smell is like. I know what that smell is like.
That's
not fun.
That's foul.
Yeah.
Did you move?
Well, I mean, I didn't live there.
Oh.
No, a hazmat team came in and cleaned it out. We've had a guy on the show, Matt Mont, the one who brought the dolls. Uh-huh. He's a crime scene cleaner.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did tell me that.
Yeah, and so you wouldn't even know.
I randomly saw a few TikToks. I don't know how my algorithm wound up on this at all. It's probably going to show me more now that I'm talking about it. But I saw some crime scene investigator TikToks, and I was always curious why they were allowed to post these videos or if they got leaked.
Yeah,
but
you're technically not supposed to, because it's like disrespectful.
Well, yeah. I mean, some of the stuff that they were posting on TikTok was insanely disgusting. Like, I've never seen anything like it before. It's like, and it's also one of those things, like, it's so bad you can't not look at it.
Yeah, no, I'm okay.
I don't know how to explain that. That sounds really terrible.
I'm about to sound really awful. I'm already desensitized to that. I actually will sometimes.
Do you
go
Google
look
this shit?
Sometimes.
You're one of those.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I have Googled stuff after I got curious, because I'm like, how the fuck did this happen?
Yeah.
But it's hard to look
one at. One that gets me, that like kind of gets me kind of rough, is like celebrity crime scene photos? Like the
why particularly celebrity crime
because
scene
you, they're a public figure and you're like we all end up the same.
Ooh.
A rough one, and I'm not saying go look it up, but I'll tell you who it was. Chris Farley's. His was rough. His was rough to look at.
Yeah. See, like I no. See what
Joey,
I what
pull it up. No,
I
no, I'm just kidding.
No, no,
don't
no,
pull
no,
it up.
No.
We will get demonetized so fast.
See
do not
what
pull it
I
up.
What I saw was you couldn't identify anything. I personally I like or the person. I think it was just like the thing that had happened, and they tell the story of what happened there. Yep. But I don't want to be fucking looking at anybody who I even potentially knows. Like,
Yeah.
No.
So
that's too heavy for me.
I have been there, done that. But you know what we are about to do? See our final video for the night. You made it. You've been jump scared once.
Yeah, I'm sweating though.
Yeah. So this one says we may have found Amelia Earhart. So let's take a look at this one. Let me drop the volume here, ladies and gentlemen.
So if you haven't heard by now, deep sea explorers may have found Amelia Earhart's long lost plane. According to her final radio messages with the U.S. Coast Guard vessel stationed nearby, all contact with Earhart ceased on July 2nd after 8:43 a.m. And that is supposedly the last anyone has ever heard from her. Until the International Group for Historic Aircraft Recovery, or TIGAR, published a paper in 2018 that strongly refutes this, stating that they have ample evidence to show that Earhart sent out radio distress messages for several days after July 2nd. After Earhart disappeared, the U.S. Navy put out an all ships, all stations bulletin. Authorities asked anyone with a radio and a trained ear to tune in to the radio frequencies that Earhart was using on her trip. And this was not as simple as it sounds. So the people who heard Earhart's distress messages just happened to be listening to the radio at the right time. And one of those people was a 15-year-old girl listening in from St. Petersburg, Florida, who transcribed some of the desperate phrases she heard. Quote, water's high, water's knee deep. Let me out. Help us quick. A housewife in Toronto heard a shorter message. Quote, we have taken in water. We can't hold on much longer. On July 3rd, a woman named Nina Paxton from Ashland, Kentucky, said she heard Earhart say, quote, K-H-A-Q-Q calling, and that she was on or near a little island at a point near, and then it cuts out. Then she says something about a storm and that the wind was blowing. We will have to get out of here. We can't stay here long. What happened to Amelia Earhart after that has vexed the world for nearly 87 years. TIGAR is just one group of researchers who have dedicated their time and resources to solving one of aviation's greatest mysteries. So here's what they discovered. So they conducted an extensive analysis of more than 2,000 Coast Guard and U.S. Navy log entries and tracked down 57 credible post-loss radio messages reported in the days after Earhart's disappearance to construct a picture of what may have happened in those final days. Based on the quality of the radio messages, TIGAR deduced that the point of origin of these radio messages were coming from Gardner Island, because the quality of radio reception decreased the farther you moved away from Gardner Island. And only at Baker Island, which is the station closest to Gardner, did an operator hear a strong, clear voice signal with the plane's call sign, K-H-A-Q-Q. And if you notice, the island just above Baker is Howland Island. That is the island that Earhart and Noonan were supposed to land at to refuel and never arrived. And eerily enough, Earhart's very last radio message to the U.S. Coast Guard vessel at 8:43 a.m. was her stating that she was on the line position 157-337 running north and south. And what island happens to be on this line of position is Nikumaro Island, also known as Gardner Island. So TIGAR deduced that Earhart and Noonan had to basically crash land on Gardner Island and were marooned on the reef. And the reason TIGAR believed this is absolutely bonkers nutso science. I mean that in a good way. Okay, if the plane was stuck on the reef at Gardner Island, then that presented Earhart with a problem. The plane's radio relied on the aircraft's batteries, but you need the batteries to start the engine. So if they kept the radio on and continued to send distress messages, then they would run out of the battery and they wouldn't be able to start the plane. But here's the rub. The timing of the distress messages are strange. TIGAR believed that there was a pattern to them that was oddly specific, as if Earhart was only sending distress messages when the tide was out. So Tigger hypothesized that the plane was halfway underwater, and thus Earhart could only send messages when the water level was low enough for the propeller tip to clear. Because again, she needed to turn the engine on to send the radio message. In other words, Tigger concluded that Earhart and Noon had to stick to a certain schedule based on the tide. They're seeking shelter, okay, shade, and food during the day, and then they head back to the plane during low tide to try the radio message again. To test their hypothesis, Tigger compared past tidal levels and reef height data from Gardner Reef to the post-loss signals on an hour-by-hour timeline. And in their words, the correlation was astounding. Every credible transmission only occurred when the water level was low enough for the propeller to clear. But there's even more to the story. Tigger didn't just randomly start this investigation based solely on the post-lost radio messages. In 1940, bones were discovered on Gardner Island, which was originally believed to have belonged to Earhart, but then were, quote, misidentified and discarded. So Tigger built this body of evidence on top of forensic anthropologist Dr. Richard Yance's paper in 2018, which reanalyzed the bone evidence using modern-day techniques. These bones on Gardner Island were found by a British expedition team who stumbled upon a skull, other skeletal parts, and the remains of what looked like a woman's shoe. Among these bones was a box that held a Brandes Navy surveying sextant made in 1918 and a bottle of Benedictine, an herbal liqueur. I wanted to do a little bit of digging to see if Benedictine was even popular in the 1930s when Earhart was alive. And I found out that Benedictine was one of the most popular cocktails in 1930s New York during the Prohibition. And Amelia Earhart lived in New York for a while. She went to Columbia University, and then after graduating, she continued to live there for a few years because her husband owned a publishing company there. So it's totally possible that she packed the Benedictine as part of her belongings for the flight. Anyways, the 13 bones were shipped to Fiji and were studied by D.W. Hoodless, who determined that the skeleton was a man and the bones were subsequently chucked. But since the bones are gone, Yance co-developed a computer program that can estimate sex and ancestry by using skeletal measurements, called FourDisc.
Go
Yance
on.
Yance compared the lengths of the bones to Earhart's measurements, using her height, weight, body build, limb lengths, and proportions from both photographs and information found on her pilots and driver's licenses. The FourDisc analysis not only found the bones were female, that Earhart's bones were, quote, more similar to the Gardner bones than 99% of individuals in a large reference sample. So in his paper, Dr. Yan says that the only documented person to whom these Gardner bones could belong to is Amelia Earhart. Although doing proper DNA analysis on the actual bones would give us the clearest and most definitive answer, the FourDisc analysis comes pretty darn close. This, coupled with the Tigar's radio message analysis, paints a pretty compelling yet distressing picture. One can only imagine specific. What was going through her mind in those final moments.
Yeah, that's terrifying to think about. Like, and I mean, were you following the Titan sub when that whole thing?
Yes.
Yeah, so I did a video on it really quickly, like very quickly after it had happened. And that was like a rough one for me to make because I remember being like anxious the entire time of like, what's happening?
Well, especially because it's happening in real time. Like, we're listening back on something that happened a really long time ago, so it doesn't create that angst. But when you're in real time, I mean, like, there are people in this, at the time, submarine that are stranded and are pretty much coming to their death.
Yeah.
It's really hard to think about.
Yeah. It is very hard to think about. But you know what isn't hard to think about? Ending the show. So, Christina, where can people find you? What do you got going on these days?
You can find me on Instagram at Christina.Lauren. You can also follow my podcast at Fearless AF, the podcast.
That, listen to the episode I was on.
That is, yes. You can also come see him on his own episode, too. We film Fearless here at Sticky Paws. And it's a little bit different than this show, but we bring people on to talk about their empowering stories of, you know, coming up from the bottom and, you know, making something of their lives or going through traumatic situations and, you know, making the best of it and a lot of confidence building and empowerment. So, but you can find me there.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
It's a very good show. Joey, what do you got going on? You thought I was going to gloss over you. Nah, you ain't safe here.
Nothing.
No one's
nothing.
Safe.
You don't have an Instagram that I can just pull up or.
You want me to put my Instagram?
Just plug it. Just tell people where they can find you.
It's @joeysol.is.
Hell yeah! Because you're doing music production, right? You got stuff going on.
Yeah, producing, DJ, engineer.
Sticky paws.
Sticky paws. That falls under engineer.
Come it on. Falls under engineering. It does. But everybody in the chat, give some applause for Joey. He's on day three right now, and he's already crushing it behind the decks. Nice. So it's very nice to know that we're in good hands here.
Yes.
Trying we're in good best. Hands.
Yeah, we got a good family here at Sticky Paws.
That we do. So everybody's watching right now. Yes, we will be live again tomorrow night. 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time here on YouTube.
What's the difference between this live show and the one on Fridays?
So this show, we react to creepy videos. Uh-huh. On Fridays, the audience gets to call in and tell us their stories.
Ooh.
Yeah, and we have Black Cauldron with us, who is a spiritualist. And we have been getting some crazy stories. Sleep paralysis, alien abduction.
I gotta come in and listen.
For sure. Yeah, we're live every Friday, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on YouTube. I get to tell my story about how I fucked around and found out. Yeah, and instantaneously too. So, but thank you so much to everybody for watching. If you want to support the channel, you can do so by becoming a YouTube member for as little as 99 cents a day. You can get access to special content that you won't be able to see unless you're a member, and you also get access to our videos early. But I just want to say thank you so much to everybody for watching. We're doing these live again. I think it's fun doing them live. We get the real life interactions, or the real time interactions. But thank you again to everybody. And until next time, stay bizarre.